Welcome to the Stay Ready Real Estate Podcast, your action plan for real estate success. Here, we stay ready. Staying ready is being mindful of time and actively doing the things on a daily basis so we stay prepared for the opportunities that come our way. Join your host, Emeka, as he dives into the world of real estate investing, interviewing experts and sharing actionable insights. If you enjoy this podcast, please subscribe today. We would love to know each and every one of you. So please go to GubanaEquity.com and click Invest With Us today so we can figure out how we can get to your investing goals.
Eric, welcome back to the Stay Ready Podcast. Happy to have you. You were on here last year, but can you remind everybody a little bit about what you do and who you are?
Well, Emeka, my friend, thank you for having me on your podcast. First of all, it's always great to connect with you and your viewers and listeners, and I'm thrilled to be back. Basically, from our update last year, we're really increasing our capital raising efforts in various commercial asset classes, such as the industrial flex space and multifamily, in addition to some RV and mobile home park operators that we've recently become connected with. The great thing about it is in the commercial real estate space, you're always connecting, you're always networking, so you never know who knows who. So it's always a kind of a fun, not game, but kind of a fun puzzle to see how maybe one person could benefit in your network from another person who you just met, right? So sometimes it's fun to play connect the dots because you want, obviously, people to do good things along the way in commercial real estate. And when everybody wins, you usually win too. So we're very, very happy, obviously, with the prospects of multifamily and commercial real estate, not only in 2025, but, you know, in the years to come.
No, I love that. I love that. And what would you say was the biggest thing you were focusing on in 2024 versus what you're doing now?
Yeah, that's a great question. So we always focus on that in 2024. The focus will continue to be that in 2025, but thinking bigger in 2025, not that I didn't think big in 2024 or 2023, but it's really not really letting fear or anything else come in the way of getting either a connection, getting a deal done, or connecting with that person that you need to connect with. So that's, I think, really been, you know, since we're just, you know, just done with the first month of the new year, I think that's what the biggest difference has been, is basically no excuses and let's take action here.
No, I love that. I love that. And you're focused more on the commercial mm-hmm. space now. Tell us why that is. What's so great about it?
Yeah, there's I think a lot of pros of commercial real estate, specifically the multifamily industry. You know, people are going to always need a place to live, especially in recessionary times. Great if you're in a good city, you know, and that could be anywhere in the United States, right? But you have to do your homework and your demographics. And what I mean by demographics are like population. Is it growing? Rent growth, is that growing? Job growth. Do they have a lot of industries around, you know, where you're looking at for multifamily? It's a very good, solid cash flowing investment. And again, some of these buildings, you know, or some of these commercial assets are not necessarily going to retire you the very first time you buy a building, but there's so many other great benefits to commercial real estate, like appreciation. How much is it going to be worth in 2 to 5 years if you had some value add components to it, either interior or exterior? Depreciation, you can certainly take some losses on the property against your taxes, which is tremendously beneficial to people in a higher or middle above average tax bracket. So those are just some of the pros that I enjoy about commercial real estate. There's nothing wrong with residential real estate. In fact, I did 8 or 9 residential real estate deals last year just as a realtor here in Metro Detroit. It is a outstanding way to serve the public and to help the public and with one of their biggest, you know, things that they'll face in life, which is the buying and the selling of a home.
I love it. Have you faced any challenges in the commercial space, or has there been any major differences that you weren't expecting transitioning to the commercial?
You know what? Here's the thing. I guess I went into it with my eyes wide open, and I know that there's going to be challenges in every space. So certainly, you know, is capital a little harder to come by, especially in 2024? It was. But, you know, you just keep working and you keep grinding. And as long as you have a plan of action each and every day as to how you're going to tackle those challenges, you really, I don't think, can go wrong. I mean, yes, some days are going to be slow. Some days it feels like you're running on a treadmill and not making any progress. I completely get that. But again, you have to look at the bigger picture, little wins, celebrate those little wins along the way, and look at the bigger picture, especially when attracting, capital to some of these commercial real estate projects, because again, they don't happen every week. Sometimes you're lucky if it happens twice a year, but that's okay because again, your efforts will be rewarded in a very, very good way because of that.
Also, one of the things that I've been pitching on this podcast lately is now that the market is not as easy as it was in COVID, right? So what is something that you're preaching to other people and, teaching your private money that you go to look for? What should they be looking for, and how do you vet the right operators?
Yeah, those are great, great points, Emeka. And it is happening, unfortunately, out there. My biggest thing when you're vetting an operator is I think it's important to have at least a 6 month to 1 year relationship with them previously so that you really get to know them on a very deep level before you do a deal with them. Number two, I would do a background check on the operator. And I know that sounds very drastic, but you do not want to find out after you put money in a deal that your operator was in jail for money laundering or for any horrible crime. Or because let me tell you, it's way too late after you've invested. Because if they did it to one person, they're probably going to do it to somebody else. So, again, in number three, what is their proof that they are a good operator? Have they done full cycle deals? How are their deals currently operating? Just because they haven't had a capital call, are some of their current deals in trouble with the shaky economic times that we had? In multifamily and commercial assets in 2024. I think those three things are very important to take into account because you want to make sure nothing is guaranteed and nothing is foolproof in life, but you want to eliminate as many of those challenges or hurdles along the way to ensure the success of not only your investment, but your investors' investment or capital in the deal.
I love all of that. I love it. I love it. I love it. And you talked about uncertainty. And right now, we are in uncertain times, right? There's a new administration. No one really understands how that's going to affect real estate, materials. But how are you underwriting for the uncertainty, coming up in 2025 to, let's say, 2030?
Yeah, it's again a great question. We don't know what, governmental regulations, restrictions, incentives are coming along the way. We really don't. Nobody has a crystal ball. So you can only control what you can control. And what we do when we underwrite, I'm regularly seeing underwriting for the last maybe 2 years now at 7 to 8% interest. So as long as I think you are in between that 7 to 8% interest rate, I think that you are going to be good moving forward with a deal if all the other numbers work. That's really, everybody says they're conservative in their underwriting. I've never met anybody that says, oh, I am so liberal in my underwriting that this deal has a chance of working. So nobody's ever said that. I've never heard anybody said that. Everybody either says they're conservative, ultra conservative, or uber conservative. So there's three different conservative baskets in your underwriting, right? So again, as long as you are putting a reasonable amount of risk into your underwriting and really taking into account everything in your deals and stress testing your deals. And what I mean by that is playing with the numbers to see, okay, can we still make money if the occupancy is at 70%? Can we still make money if the occupancy isn't at 70%? If the interest rate's at 8%, or if the interest rate's at 6%, what you have to play around with those numbers is my point, to the point where you're not only educating yourself, but you're educating your investors as well.
I love it. And stress testing is one of the most beautiful things that I think people can do, right? If you know what happens when the uncertain or the unknown or the black swan event happens, right? If you stress
Right.
test that scenario, then you're prepared, right?
Yes.
I think it's okay to say that no one's going to be making drastic returns on their underwriting. And if that is, I would say that's a red flag. You want
Sure.
to under promise, over deliver.
Yes.
And with that being said, right, with people who don't really understand or they're getting into the commercial space, what red flags should they be looking for? And what are the key points to be looking for when knowing if they want to, make, let's say someone sees 10% on someone's bucket of preferred return. Would you consider that a red flag? Or, oh, I should do that because that's the amount of money I expect to make.
Well, with any situation in life, Emeka, if it's too good to be true, then it's most likely too good to be true, but it warrants further investigation and research on your end, right? So, because again, there's a general consensus of what numbers, quote unquote, should be, right, in this market that we're in. And if it seems like that's an outlier, maybe there's a reason for the outlier. Maybe there's not, but I think it's a point that needs to be investigated further because, again, you don't want to obviously get into a situation with your own capital or with other people's capital where you are not fully prepared and can answer those questions in case a worst case or doomsday scenario happens. So again, if it feels like it's too good to be true, investigate, 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 ask questions. Any operator who you invest with in any kind of investment, whether that's residential or commercial, should welcome any questions at any time because they should want to make sure that if you're the one investing the money, they want your questions answered to your satisfaction so that you are confident moving forward with the deal. Because if you're not confident at the start, don't even bother investing your money.
I love it. What are the three actionable steps that you would recommend the aspiring investor to do today in order to get one step closer to being an LP in the right deal or even becoming a GP?
Yeah, great question. So to become an LP or GP, one, okay, what I would suggest is to educate yourself. And that could be on whatever you need to educate yourself on, whether that be underwriting, whether that be understanding the basics of how a commercial investment works, whether that be connecting with a broker who is a local expert in your area. Educate yourself so that you are prepared. To a certain extent, you're not going to know everything. Nobody expects you to know everything. Not everybody knows everything about, even if you've done a bunch of deals, right? So I would just say continue to educate yourself and understand that the education process never stops. You never stop learning. You only get better at doing deals. Number two, I think it's important to surround yourself with like-minded people. So it's important to join some masterminds so that you get a feel for the quality of the people and the caliber of the deals that are going on around you. It opens your eyes to things that you never thought were possible because now you are around people and become friends with people who are actually doing this stuff. I think that that's really important. It is a mindset issue, right? It is a mindset and mastermind groups, great mastermind groups, of course, like our MIH mastermind that we're in, the two of us are in, is one of the best, if not the best out there. I mean, you know, Emeka, people are doing deals. People are no bullshit about it. People are educating. People are helping people. That's the kind of group you want to be around and the kind of people that you want to be around. Number three is daily action. You cannot stop for one day if you want to reach a goal. I know it's easy. Sometimes you take a day off when you're sick. Sometimes you take a day off for vacation. Hey, I get it. We're human and we're all allowed to do that. But you need to have daily actionable steps towards your goal, or otherwise you're going to be spinning your wheels and it's going to be very frustrating. So it could be you buying, a 5-unit building or a 6-unit building, or it could be that you want to tackle a 100-unit building, or I want to talk to the 10 brokers by in a month, or whatever your goals are, they need to be defined, they need to be actionable, and you need to measure those goals so that you are achieving those goals every single day.
What are you doing to help you stay 1% better every day?
Yep, that's a great question. So what I do is the night before, I will write my top 3 to 5 things that I need to do. I usually have a goal with myself just because I'm, as you know, being a former athlete, you know this because you're a former athlete as well. You like to be competitive, right? And everything is kind of not a race, but a competition, which is good because competition is healthy, in my opinion. I try to get those things done by noon. Now, do I succeed on some days? Yeah, I do. But on most days, do I get maybe 3 of them knocked off before noon? Yeah. And that's okay. Like it's a goal in your head. It's a mindset thing that you're going to get these most important 3 to 5 things to do so that you're moving forward on your goals, actionable steps moving forward on your goals every single day.
I love it. And you're a family man, right? Like, how are you finding this time?
Oh gosh, Shemeca. Like, look, here's the thing that I tell people. There's 24 hours in a day, there's 168 hours in a week. You can choose to use them however you want. You can also complain about situations. That's not going to do you a darn bit of good because you can only control what you can control. I currently still do have a W-2. I spend as much time on real estate, most probably, in fact, definitely, as I do on my W-2. I used to coach my kids' travels basketball and softball teams. Yeah, so I have kids that are very active in sporting events and other stuff. And then yeah, you have to kind of be there for, you be there for everybody. That's why God gives you 24 hours in a day.
It's
And you got to be
possible.
ruthlessly efficient with how you use them too. So there always has to be a plan, even on the weekends. Some people like to take the weekends off. That's when I get a lot of stuff done.
Oh, for sure. And that everyone's has always had the same 24 hours. And
Yep.
everyone somehow gets something done. And I always say this, right? You get things done of what you want to get done, right? Whatever you want to do, you will do. There is no ifs,
Right.
ands, or buts. It gets done, all right? If you want to be on
If you
Instagram
want
for
it bad
2 hours.
enough, it'll get done.
Exactly. And with that, let's move on to the next segment of the show where I ask everyone the same three questions. Question number one, what are the two books you recommend the aspiring investor to read?
That's a great question. So I loved the book, and maybe because I read it again recently, is Who Not How. It's a very great book, in my opinion, because it tells you that, look, and we all know this conceptually because we've all heard the, well, it's not who you know, it's not what you know. I'm sorry, it's who you know, right? And that book reinforces the point, but it also reinforces the point of the strength of good familial networks and how your networks can become like family to you. And it gives real good case studies and real life examples that I think are tremendously beneficial to somebody starting a business or in their real estate career. Two, I'm going to make a shameless plug. Attracting Capital, I think, is a great book. And maybe that's because that's what I like to do. It was obviously written by some of our good friends. As you know, it's a fantastic book outlining the strategies that you need to do to become successful. And there's a multifaceted approach to that to be successful in attracting capital for not only commercial real estate, but for any kind of residential real estate that you're doing as well.
I love it. Second question, what has been the most impactful speech or lesson that's helped you in your career?
Impactful speech or lesson? I'm going to use a basketball reference that you're going to definitely know, my friend. I always go back to this speech every year when I hear it. I've heard it multiple times on YouTube, and that's the Jimmy V Never Give Up speech. I know you've heard it. Again, you know my background. I love college basketball. I love basketball. That's one of the things that we connect with and we share in common. And I always just go back to that. Jimmy V, his team, when they won the title, they weren't supposed to win the title. And there's a huge, obviously, you've seen it, I'm sure, my friend, where they do a huge documentary on it. It's called Survive in Advance. It's an ESPN 30 for 30. I've watched it like two or three times, but it just outlines the power of not only positive mindset, but belief. In a common goal, and his speech when he was riddled with bone cancer, I mean, it was just so powerful to me. I always think when you feel like giving up, not to give up, because I mean, you're given so much time, right? And you never know when that time's going to run out. So I would say that that speech has always played in the back of my mind. Although consciously, I might not have been aware of it. It's always been in the back of my mind playing.
That's great. That's great. And lastly, outside of Abraham Lincoln, if you can have dinner with anyone dead or alive, who would it be? And
Oh,
why?
I feel like I'm cheating on Abe. No,
Yeah.
Abraham Lincoln, certainly. If I could have any, if I could have dinner with anybody dead or alive, who would it be? Wow, that's a great question.
And I stole Abe from you.
I know you did steal Abe from me because Abe was my person. Oh, that's okay. I know this is gonna sound. Whatever. And I don't want it to come off as like higher powerish, but I think I'd like to have a few words with Jesus. Our Lord and Savior. I definitely have
Right,
some questions. I'd like to have dinner with him. I'll even cook.
right,
But
right.
I certainly
No.
would like to, yeah, I certainly would like to have a dinner with him.
Oh, yeah. He knows a lot, I hear. Right,
That's the rumor on the street, my friend.
right, right. Now, how can everybody reach you? How can people help you? What are you looking for? Let us know.
So what we're looking for is we're looking for obviously great commercial operators in the multifamily industrial flex space, RV and mobile home park space. So if anybody, I'm sorry, if anyone in your network or anyone listening knows of some great operators in that space, that would be tremendously beneficial for us, because our network obviously of private equity and family office equity is expanding, and we're always looking to connect good operators with good capital partners.
Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining the show again, and I look forward to having you back next year.
Oh my gosh, thank you so much, my friend. It's always fun to connect with you, and it's always fun to be on this show. So thank you for the opportunity.